All right, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, welcome to the Children's Science Museum.
Oh, it's always nice to be back.
Love one of these things. Been a while since I've been to one, unless I used a randomization at a science museum. No, I'm pretty sure I did that like 3 weeks ago. So
yeah, it was really recent, or I wouldn't remember it at all. So that's okay.
Yeah.
I assume that if I don't remember it, people listening won't remember it, which has never been a correct assumption. Yeah. But it's comforting to me. It's the lie that, you know, that proves the truth. It's the comfortable blankety lie.
I'm always so gratified when I hear other podcasters describe the like Final Fantasy VIII junctioning memory leak that all of us amnesia. Have. Yeah.
What if there's one being that's collecting all those memories as we all shed them?
It's like a fucked up and useless version of the Akashic Archives.
Yeah, or like a big pulsating wet brain that's like, you know, air hockeying around at the center of the earth, just sloshing around, collecting the lost quote unquote wisdom of podcasters.
Like, boy, that brain hates women.
That's podcasters in general. We love women.
I know. Yeah. One of my favorite things, though I am unsure of the principle that it is illustrating, is the chaotic pendulum, where you've got the pen on the end of the line. There's a big sheet of paper there, and you just let that pen swing. And randomly, it kind of creates a fun little Windows screensaver.
Yeah, it's a little bit like a spirograph.
Kind of. Did you know that the major spikes in crime correlate with a decrease in spirograph
I'll think
usage?
About it. I'll think about it.
Okay. So
you're supposed to say no, you won't.
No, you won't. Sorry, I forgot. I ended the scene early. I'm just gonna let this swing, and we'll see what happens here.
Okay,
and there we are. It goes for longer than you think it will.
I know kids love gentle, like rocking motions,
gentle swoops. Yes,
yeah. I remember them. I've only done one of these once, and it did take longer than I wanted it to.
Yeah. Like, you don't want to stop it because all the tight. Like all of the real like cool squiggles at the end or at the end, you know.
I wasn't feeling particularly impatient, but there was a line of people to use this thing, which even in retrospect, that seems very silly to me. We got to see the thing. Yeah, I want to do mine, and they're all functionally the same. I had stood in that line as well.
All right. Okay. Yeah. There we go. It stopped. Let's see. It kind of looks like. Is that it? Is that a guy with dreads and hot dog hair and hot dog arm?
And he's giving us the middle finger. For some reason, I think it is.
I think this is through
the visual scanner.
Yeah, let's snap it with the game. Oh, there we go. Yeah, no, this is Rad Spencer from the 2009 Bionic Commando.
Rearmed.
No, that's 2008, my friend. And that's a good game. It's got nothing to do with good games.
I am Gary Butterfield.
I am Cole Ross.
Welcome to Abject Suffering. We're the ants led by King Anthony, and we're coming to hail King Graham. Don't get that one, but I'm pretty sure I haven't used it.
Maybe it's about ants going to a graham cracker to grab parts off of it, maybe.
Okay.
But why would the graham cracker be their king?
Yeah, I know who King Graham is, but I don't know who King Anthony is. And I know ants are part of Anthony, the name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't know.
No clue at all. This week, we're talking about Bionic Commando. No, not the very good NES game. Not the NES game that, depending on the day, might be my favorite NES game.
Not the good Game Boy one.
Yeah, not the good Game Boy one. Yeah, no. This is the 2009 revival. It's not a reboot. It's a sequel. And the story goes places. And this is a patron demand from John. John, who says, I rented this game from my local grocery store when I was in elementary school. I remember it being so bad that I only played for about 45 minutes before taking it back for another game.
I feel like John did not get the full bad experience of this, because I think that you have to have some affection for the NES game and familiarity with the property to understand how much this suck.
to understand, you know? Just the shitty turn that this takes, and like makes it shitty in a way that games at this time were shitty. Like, this is very shitty. Generic. Yeah. Dude,
I was joking on the Slack about starting a podcast that goes generation by generation through this kind of like 6 out of 10 guy games, you know, from Shatterhand to, you know, Project Killzone.
Yeah.
Just like that, from Shatterhand to Wet, yeah. The entirety of
like, I mean, yeah, no, this is a real I call this the Haze era.
Yeah.
Remember, exactly. The PS3 game Haze, about the combat drug Haze.
There's plenty of Haze. One of the funniest things about this game is this game didn't do well. You know, and partly because it wasn't made super well, and partly because the same developer or the same people released three games at the same time. This being one of the other two, Terminator Salvation and Wanted Weapons of Fate.
They're really. I think we both watched the same YouTube video. Yeah, yeah. Released on the same day as the Terminator Salvation game.
I love it. Like, just fighting themselves with just these. I don't know the word for these. Like. Scum and dumb games. Like, just like there's a guy on the cover with a gun, and boy, he's got a history. Like, that kind of thing. I need to sponsor Vanity Pick Wanted Weapons of Fate.
Oh yeah,
at some point. Oh yeah. Comic for that, you fight a gigantic animate turd. Like, it's nothing like the movie. They really, really try to adapt that. Yeah, the one of the main bad guys is a turd. It's not a good comic. It's some Mark Millar 2000s bullshit, but it's real funny that they made that into a serious prestige movie, like prestige action, you know, like action movie with pathos, not prestige, you know. Mm-hmm. What I mean
yeah
a Crashmore.
I you know, it knows what it is. I remember thinking the Wanted movie was just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious that this studio decided to do that. Also hilarious that this was the worst selling of all of those.
Yeah, they greatly overestimated Bionic Commando Mania.
Yeah,
this game that failed, you know, didn't do well on the Nintendo either. Like, it's a stone cold classic. I love Bionic Commando.
Oh, I was so excited. Well. I was so excited for this, Gary.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I loved Bionic Commando as a kid. Bionic Commando Rearmed, the remake by the same team, had come out, you know, shortly before to kind of build up hype, and that owns. You know, I was like, oh yeah, this is going to be great. And when I got it, I was extremely disappointed. For obvious reasons. Not really. I mean, a good deal of it having to do with the play, but like, I don't know, swinging in this feels pretty good. It's the level design that falls down, you know?
To me, the swinging. So one of the things about Bionic Commando, the NES game, that is the reason it's good, is that you can't jump.
Yeah.
That's really key. And the levels are designed around it. Here, you can jump. And mm-hmm. the most annoying parts of every level are designed around swinging. And when it's not that, it's just Punisher on the PS2.
Yeah.
You know, it's just running around. It's Siphon Filter,
mm-hmm.
You know, with barely a gimmick. The swinging is fun because swinging is inherently fun.
Yes.
But this also came after like Spider-Man 2,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's closer to that than to Bionic Commando.
Yeah.
You can jump and kind of grapple onto things in the city. It's an okay swinging because swinging has a really high floor.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah, I think that they split the difference pretty well between, like, you know, the Spider-Man just press the button and you'll probably latch onto something, you know, as long as you're not in the open air, you're going to be fine. And something that would have been very miserable, which is needing to aim precisely at aiming the grappling hook like a weapon. Right. Yeah. Like there's a fair amount of like fudging and the lock on and stuff. And there's an indicator when you like are at the point of, you know, like release where you would get the maximum kind of velocity off of it.
Like yeah. During that, the extremely weird swinging physics where like time slows down.
Yes.
You start moving through like a weird molasses and it stops feeling like you like momentum hits this weird hard cap. Very quickly. Yep. And then like, you slow down to it.
Yeah. This just made me want to play Cyberhook, honestly. That's a like just a real good like Mirror's Edge time travel or time trial. You know, you're in a geometry realm, but just very snappy, very precise grappling hook shit.
I was actually think like the grappling hook thing in the original, in the NES version, in a 2D version, you don't have to aim.
No,
really. Like it just kind of works that way. And
it's very predictable.
Yeah. It's a function of the viewpoint, you know, being able to see the entirety of the level from the side. It's like one of those things where things that from 2D don't often switch. I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't translate. You know, the play is, and this is not the worst part of it.
No, no.
It eventually, there are a lot of really annoying hate spikes in this that I read about. I didn't get to them, you know, I didn't play this when it came out or anything. But the main thing is the tone, which like wraps around to be pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could see liking this in a bad action movie kind of way. It's just not, and until the end, until the big reveal, which we're burying right now, which is a meme, like everyone knows it, but it's right. Great. It is just kind of like bad, shitty action movie fun. It's just, you have to play like pretty mediocre play. You know, it's not horrible, but mediocre with heat spikes in between.
Yeah,
that make it not fun. And absolutely. It is, the original version is so goofy. Mm-hmm. You know, you're fighting, you're Super Joe's your buddy.
Yeah.
His name is Super Joe, and you're fighting the bats. this is as serious as a heart attack.
Yeah.
God, it's a fucking Limp Bizkit, like, dark, twisted poem on the inside cover of a notebook, high school notebook, put together. Like, this is a creative writing exercise in high school literary magazine for somebody who, instead of trying to like write a short story or write a book, is going to write a 14-part series called The Specialists.
can I tell you an anecdote from my past about something almost exactly like that?
Yes.
Okay. It's not something that I wrote, but it is a phraselet that is stuck in my head. You're familiar with the Kohl's department store? No relation?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Cheapish clothes, fine. Shop there a lot as a kid. Mom loved that place. The dressing room next to the men's jeans and the like kids section, you know, is where you would buy your graphic tees and such. One of the stalls had the following, let's call it a poem, like verse or couplet, carved into the door that I've not been able to find anywhere. Okay.
Okay.
Prodigal ink, prodigal lead, mental instabilities plague your head.
Oh, twisted.
It's very twisted. Oh,
it's the Ohio Joker. The Ohio Joker is struck again.
Oh, just going to sneak some laughing gas into you there. Yeah. so read this, and, you know, as a kid, I don't think that was cool. I thought it was just like, oh, okay. Yeah. It's like some corn.
It's mysterious.
It's some corn shit, right?
Yeah. And some corn lyrics.
Yeah. These do not exist. If I have done many a late night Google search around variations of this, this is not lyrics to anything.
It's an OC. Yeah.
It's, yeah,
the guy's working on his poetry.
He was working on his poetry, but I can't stress this enough. He was carving it into the laminate of the door on the inside of the stall of a Kohl's.
That's a king. Right there. I love it when you find, I've said this a billion times, I love graffiti that you can't find later that feels like it has to be from something.
Uh-huh.
Like in my hometown in the dive bar we went to where somebody had carved in Thunder Thugs unbuckled. Like I think about the Thunder Thugs colon unbuckled all the time.
I know that you have said that, and I know that I have asked the clarifying question, was there a colon?
Oh, no colon, separate line break. But it is Thugs with a Z at the very least.
Okay.
But yeah, just beautiful stuff, and it didn't come from anywhere. That's great. I remember when I was in high school, my literary magazine, everybody took it, you know, they're trying to write short stories like books and stuff that we had written. And one guy who I knew, who I will tell you, remind me after we get done to tell you it is, cause you are familiar, who I knew, wrote a story that was all about like fighting vampires and had like ammo pickups and stuff in the story. It was very The Specialist. Like, you know, it is very Bionic Commando 2009. Like, just imagine reading a short story in high school where somebody stops like to check their ammo count and then picks up an ammo drop. Like, the number of times an ammo drop happens in literature is a really great metric.
Or just an ammo count. I can think of one time when an ammo count mattered, and that's in The Road.
Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't about him keeping an inventory. Like, nope. Okay, it's the beginning of a new chapter. Time to press I and check out what happens.
So let's set the scene for this gritty extension. So you remember Commando, you're playing a Super Joe, it's top down. He gets captured by basically the Nazis again in Bionic Commando and needs to be rescued by his protege, Nathan Rad Spencer. All right. He kills Hitler revived. Okay, cool. It's 5 years have passed. Bionics have been declared criminals, basically just Deus Ex stuff.
Yes.
Like, oh, these Augs are going
Bionic
crazy.
Lives matter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there has been this purification where people had their bionic augments kind of torn out. Rad Spencer is in jail, not for this, but because he killed people on order of Super Joe, who is now like an elder statesman, army. He's Thunder Ross, right?
It's worth talking about how Super Joe and him have basically the same voice. But the character of Super Joe doesn't look like that. He does look like Thunderbolt Ross, but with a pencil thin mustache. But they have the same voice, so when they're having these growl offs, it's so fucking confusing. Yeah. And our guy Rad is voiced by Mike Patton, just again proving that Mike Patton can do nothing I think is good.
It's like
I've never thought anything he's cool. Yeah, like, he just always attaches himself to the least cool things you possibly can do, and I will always have people I know being like, no, actually he's really great, you should listen to, and then they insert like a side project. Phantomos is really good, and I'm like, oh man, I'm good, dude.
This guy
has never impressed me. Zombie Noises, Left for Dead, that's it.
Yep,
that's fine. But he's growling, and this other guy's growling, and they're like, it's the kind of meetings where you have a dangerous prisoner but you give him leave to slam you into a table. Like those kind of meetings. Like, I'll allow it.
Yeah. But a weapon of mass destruction has gone off in this in Ascension City. God, I fucking love Ascension City.
Ascension City. You know, now the Augs are legal. However, you know, this terrorist group, they're going to start this this thing, BioRain, are going to do this. Spencer is the only person who has experience with bionics and unclear. Like, bionics and the rest of the stuff, like fighting, I guess. Which seems unlikely that he is the only one who does.
Right.
So they have to give him his arm back, and the leverage they use is, he's like, listen, I know a little bit about Sarah, or whatever. What is his wife's name?
I don't, it's not, doesn't,
if it's not
matter.
Sarah, it may as well be Sarah. It doesn't matter for this. And they show like it, when they show him the Sarah and then the flashes of the arm, they are foreshadowing this way sooner than I thought they would.
Oh my God.
I only knew it by reputation, but it's pretty obvious.
It is. It's just right there. Like,
it's huge refuge in audacity. Like, it's a twist that is very clearly telegraphed, but it would never occur to anyone because it's a minor miracle it occurred to the person who wrote the game.
Him just having these Force Ghost like memory hallucinations of her saying, don't worry Nathan, I'm always by your side.
Yeah, I'll always give you a hand. Like, so he bargains with his arm back, and he's gonna go and get inserted into the insurgency zone in Ascension City and just shoot a bunch of you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. It turns out Super Joe is behind it. You know, you don't even know the difference between patriotism and treason.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of that shit. Yeah. And then they move forward. There's a Nazi. I was scrubbing through the cutscenes. I was watching the cutscenes and everything. And I was going to just watch them all, but it included boss fights. And one of them was just him tearing the wings off of Gundams for like what felt like 30 minutes.
Oh, like the boss fights are fucking atrocious.
Well, the one with the Nazi with Gottfried Groder at the end begins with them circle strafing each other for like a full 20 seconds. And our guy is shooting him, but he's not reacting for like a full 20 seconds. It's incredible.
Oh my gosh. And you know, the reveal isn't just that Thunderbolt Ross there has betrayed the country. The reveal is that Nathan's wife, who went missing at the time he got his bionic arm, went missing because she is his bionic arm.
Yes, it is wife arm.
You get wife arm. So early podcast days, like listening to the joystick podcast where they discover this.
It was a huge field day. It was like a moon landing for like 13 years ago when everybody figured this out. It's such a miracle.
Yeah,
you know,
he got wife armed.
Like, and this asks all kinds of existential questions. Like, if you had a wife, would you want it to be your arm? Things like that, you know, would you marry your arm? Like, there's a lot of questions that nobody has ever asked because they sound like fridge poetry in a dump. You know, it sounds it doesn't sound like the words, like, they make sense. It completes a sentence, but it's not like a sentence with a consciousness behind it.
No,
you know, it's real fun in that respect. It's almost like a random, it's almost like Oblique Strategies. Like, you're pulling a card from it, and it's like, what if an arm was a wife?
I don't know about this one, you know, Brian.
Most of these are just about how David Byrne sucks. But once we cut out those and the wife arm ones, we've got 50 good cards for Oblique Strategies.
Not sure about the barrier that the wife arm question gets me past, Brian.
Well, when you're producing music, it's a lot like having an arm that's a wife. God damn it. Maybe you're not a genius.
Oh my God. Yeah. So she had to be incorporated into his arm.
You have to for bionics.
Yes.
You have to have a DNA. One of the things that says like a DNA match, and your wife does not have your DNA.
No.
They have to sync their host on an emotional and physical level.
Yeah.
In what way does just another complete person who you fucked sync you on a physical level in like a DNA way?
It's like they say it's like an emotional bond. Like, there needs to be.
It's emotional and physical level.
God. Yeah.
And if you didn't want to make that, like, this could have been, if they wanted to make it his DNA, they could have made it his daughter. And it wouldn't have been as funny, like daughter arm. That's kind of sweet. like that's kind of Hallmark. I kind of like that. You know, what if you had an arm that was a daughter? You know, and finally, some lady representation in arms. You know, arms are usually portrayed as guys. It's a real silly plot contrivance. Whoever came up with it, like, was just like, oh man, what about this? Everyone's just like, yes.
Yeah. No.
And I don't think there's no power behind this. Like, the guy who came up with it, Ben Judd, the producer of this, who is just a guy who worked for this company who kept bugging his superiors to make a Bionic Commando because he loved Bionic Commando, did not have like Kojima power.
Nope.
This isn't a maniac doing something stupid because he's too well loved. I don't know. It's so weird that everyone yes to this.
Yeah.
You know,
apparently the relationship between Capcom and Grin, the company that made this, was really strained.
Yeah.
You know, like, Keiji Inafune does not know what the fuck happened with this.
He does not like them. And Kenji Inafune is,
he's not great.
He's not great. Like, I don't know who is the bad person in this. I can imagine him being very difficult to work with.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So, but he immediately said, we need the people behind Bandits Phoenix Rising to get this game. And, you know, that they sure did get it. Grin.
Oh my God. And just every, like everything is so serious in it. You know, like this city's been nuked. Hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people are dead. Gone is any of the camp, like from the previous. Like,
yes.
I don't
know. Well, like, so, some of the camp in the previous was because it was NES.
Yeah.
You couldn't get across this tone in NES. So I am sympathetic to the idea that, like, the NES game was supposed to be a more serious mm-hmm. thing and it was just limited by the NES.
Yeah.
But that's still, you know, the end result we got was better than their intentions in that case.
Right.
You know, what they wanted was bad. You run into that all the time with, like, you talk about, like, how cute the little emotion actions are in Final Fantasy VI versus the cutscenes in Final Fantasy X.
Right.
You know, like somebody turning to the camera and wagging their finger is so much more cuter and better, even if they originally did want them to give a speech.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Limitations there bred a much better outcome, but like, I don't know, in attempting to make this cool, they made it just like everything else.
It's exactly like, there's so many games like this.
Yeah.
Just like a thousand blacks. You know,
the Criterion game. Yeah, it's just like, man, you know what this feels like? It feels very much of a piece with, you know, this coming out the same year as Resident Evil 5, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I mean, to the point where like there are tri-cell billboards up, and I was like, oh, tri-cell, that sucks. That feels right at home here.
That sucks. Like, it's part of just Capcom in this era, and then it's also partly PS3, I think.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then also this generation, mm-hmm. like what, seventh gen?
I don't know. I don't count them.
I can't remember. But whatever generation this was, the PS3, Xbox 360 generation was full of this dog mm-hmm. shit.
Yeah.
They loved it.
It gets boiled down to like, oh, games brown, lol, you know, it's desaturated. Yeah. But there really is kind of an edge to it that was pretty embarrassing, you know, at the time. Like you could feel it. You could kind of feel, you know, feel the sameness. But especially as we get distance from it, the edge of the late aughts is coming into better focus. And I think that, you know, it's a different kind of edge, and it is, I think, less pronounced and less, maybe let's say, tasteless than the edge of the 90s, but it's there. And in a way it is weirdly more offensive because it is so mass market.
It has no quaintness. Like, I don't know if that's just time, you know, or distance or whatever, but like something that's 90s edgy, like I can look at the cover of Entombed's Wolverine Blues, the album, you know, with this just awful drawing, you know, Wolverine, and look at the song titles that are all like, you know, Rage, Berserker Cuts and shit like that, and think it's kind of quaint.
Uh-huh.
But that kind of shit from the aughts, like the aughts truly feels like our cultural nadir to me.
Yeah.
Like it just feels so gross and nasty, and I have no affection mm-hmm. for this kind of thing. Like this is funny. This game is funny to play.
Yeah.
And there are movies that come out during this time that are like kind of like, but it's like the Underworld films, but mm-hmm. as a game.
Yeah.
You know, like everything is dark and leather and edgy, and like I don't have any affection for it. And I think it's just because of how old I am.
Yeah.
You know, I think people who you know, have the same way I have affection for 90s edge, people who are 10 years younger than me have affection for this scum and dumb.
This is something that should be accounted for by our age gap, I think. So like when this was happening, I mean, you were 29 when this game came out, right? It's
entirely too old for Bionic Commando. I was just like, oh.
Like, you know, I was 2009. I was 20. No, man, I was like 19.
Yeah.
No, not 19.
You were 19.
I was like 21. Yeah, there we go. I was 7 years younger. So I was 22. Shit.
Yeah.
I could drink.
Yeah. You were also too old for that.
Yeah.
You know, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though like you also, you know, there's less time between when you had played Bionic Commando.
Right.
It was like an old game you played as a kid.
I mean, it kind of was. I mean, I played that when I was like 5 or 6, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I fucking loved it. My babysitter had it. I was like, oh, this is neat. You can't jump. It's interesting. But no. So like stuff in the, you know, I graduated high school in 2006, and your taste in a lot of stuff gets locked in around like late high school, college time kind of stuff. Like, pretty much the only stuff that I have taken taste wise from, let's say, 2005 or let's say 2004 onward is appreciation for mid 2000s Canadian indie rock and the Saw movies.
and even the Saw movies are at least partially
it's ironic. Yeah,
appreciating the Scum and Dumb. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
The and indie rock, like, when I sometimes feel like the 90s were really a nadir as well, and then I remember, like, oh yeah, but also like Pavement,
right?
Like tons of stuff I'm contractually obligated to love. Mm-hmm. came out during that period too. It's just like the big culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is really Wife Arm. I was thinking about I'm about to be married, mm-hmm. if I could somehow backport Liv mm-hmm. into my arm.
Okay.
I was thinking about the comparative advantages and disadvantages.
Right. To it.
Advantage, like always around.
Okay.
You know, love of my life. She'd be with me all the time.
Not communicative, though. I don't think that Nathan talks yeah. to her outside of memories. So
do you think maybe he could, and he just chooses instead to say, like, boom, headshot, you know, or like, like, didn't count on Nathan, you know, like stuff like that.
It sounded like you said Nathan, and I love the idea of him mispronouncing his own name.
Mike Patton. Hey, I'm talking Krusty. Hey. It's like, but the, yeah, so like he doesn't talk to her. So non-commutative, uh-huh. big downside.
Yeah. Just the there, but not there. Continue. Yes.
Huge downside. Upside, plausible deniability. if that hand does a crime.
Okay.
And then I can't prosecute the hand because you can't be forced to prosecute against your spouse.
Mm.
And if I was the only witness, yeah. I feel like we could get away with tons of crimes.
Yes.
That way.
Huh.
You know, like, oh, the arm that did it, but I can't testify. You know, and then just like they'd be like, well, sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Butterfield.
Yeah.
Like, you're free to go. And then I would give myself a high five by clapping. Mm-hmm. And then we'd walk out of the court.
Yeah. You know? There you are. Okay, so yeah. You know, it is a marriage formed entirely around needing to get plausible deniability for crimes. Okay,
get a second first set of prints on stuff.
It's, the, yeah,
and not entirely around. Just it's another advantage.
Yeah,
you know, it's in the plus column.
Okay, got anything else?
Minus column. I got a lot of minuses. if we moved on to that, I might have exhausted all the plus column.
Okay. For this. Okay.
Minus column, no longer a separate being.
Okay.
So, you know, no income, no discussion, no companionship, just kind of a vague presence.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like being married to a ghost.
One flesh a little too literally.
Yes. Yeah. Big downside. Another big downside, raise a lot of questions with people who know my wife.
Okay.
Know my fiance. They'd be like, where'd Liv go? And I'd have to be like, yeah. You're not going to believe this.
Yeah.
And then I'd be right. And then they would just keep pressing me and like, yeah. We'd be at a standstill, you know?
Okay. Okay. So you just, let's just put that under closure question mark.
Closure. Yeah. Closure question mark. Might get sued by Grin. For doing it.
It is an idea so dumb that it is very specific to them, and yeah. Therefore you cannot plausible. Again, there's like you get plausible deniability in one place. Yeah, you
know, Armageddon thing. Like, it's anybody who has the idea of Wife Arm owes a huge debt to Grin.
I also like that we kind of backed into this legal framework where, you know, usually just, you know, some ideas are just too general to patent, but some ideas are so dumb that you don't even have to patent them.
Yeah. You have to mic patent them. Bazooka. So you might get sued, you know, for having Wife Arm. Also, the process is a big question mark. So I guess the process could be an upside or a downside.
It's,
you know, maybe it'll be fun for both of us, but
yeah. Well,
in
the game, like in the tutorial, you are shot in these missiles, right? And and Rad is shot in separately from his arm, you know,
seems like a real major insertion flaw.
Yeah. little bit. So you've got to do all of your non-arm stuff tutorially to get to the arm and put it on. When he puts on the arm, he does all but pass out from the pain. So apparently even just hooking it up is incredibly painful.
This game also ignores all of the bionic arm stuff. About the fact that it's heavy and it's not braced to your body. So putting your entire weight on it would immediately just have it slaw off.
It's very inconsistent on that, Gary, because you know, like, you can do everything, like, it is, it is like you say in a lot of cases, but when necessary in cutscenes, it works the opposite way. So like, okay, the love interest that he, you know, at first thinks is an enemy, but then they team up, like, she is pushed off of a ledge and he grapples her and grabs her, and then it, like, she falls and it reaches the end of the line and he is just yanked along with her, even though I am positive she weighs less than the arm does.
it would just take off the entire arm. It would seem like. There's a, in the review section of this, a guy named Wesker wrote a 2,500 word review of this.
I think you mean a lady named Wesker, because let me tell you about a game I played when I was still young. When I was but a wee lass, I rented a book from my elementary school. Yeah, a wee lass.
I didn't see that this was a lady named Wesker. This is a really, really long review about not listening to the critics about this game.
To sum up Bionic Commando, it's excruciatingly well designed, rewardingly difficult, tons of fun, and an experience that I feel has shaken my foundation on judging games from this current generation of consoles.
Holy shit. Excruciatingly well designed.
Oh god, Tetris!
Pong! Breakout, my side! Ow! It's so well designed.
Oh no, my eyes, Disco Elysium.
this is really well loved by the people. The critics like sixes and sevens. The people really love this thing. There's a lot of people who are just like, no, this is great, don't listen to anybody.
Oh man. Except when you get onto the cutscene and then you get people taking digs at it. Like, oh, was this supposed to come to PS2 and then delayed for quote next gen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The graphic quality of this is not the problem here.
Yeah. Yeah. But the top one says bad mechanics, limited areas on which limited areas with shits on the swinging system. There we go. Sorry. That's not a last gen thing. That's just a bad level design thing.
Yeah. That has nothing to do with PS2. Yeah. Again, this plays exactly like 13 on PS2, basically. It's not in first person, but it's indistinguishable from that class of popcorn classic.
Thank you, Greg Turkington, for giving us the term popcorn classic.
It's very useful for this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's about all I have to say on this.
Same.
Close the tapped.
I need to underline how heartbreaking this game was for me.
Yeah. It's very, very sad for Cole. This game. And it is worth the cutscenes are very funny in this. They're not like Mortal Kombat 4 fatality funny.
Yeah.
Like, I was expecting them to be a little bit more over the top. To be like, I could imagine if you were playing the game, getting into the rhythm where like the individual sensitivities of the scummy dude bro talk would be funny. Just watching cutscenes, I didn't quite get there. Funny, but not like Chakan the Forever Man funny. You know?
Right. Yeah. And funny, but not like Alone in the Dark 2008 funny.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After
he finds out, after Spencer finds out that his wife is his arm, he hastens his pursuit. Like, it doesn't really do it. He doesn't sit with that information and process it.
Really,
you know?
Oh, there's stuff that's happening.
You should be able to take a, like, a beat and just ask all those questions.
That's pretty funny.
incredible shit. Oh, boy. Yeah. Remind me who sponsored?
Let me see here real quick. This was John. Thank you very much, John.
Thank you, John,
for exhuming this terrible memory.
Yeah. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
If you would like to support us or like to sponsor our game, you can do both those things at patreon.com/techfeedtv.
Mm-hmm. Get extra episodes of the show, support us. It's so support the endeavors, not just of the show, but across the entire network. If you can't do that, you can leave a rating or review, or you can tell your friends.
Yes. Both those things are very appreciated. Mm-hmm. Until next time, what can they do, Cole?
Until next time, don't sweat the petty things and don't pet the sweaty things.
Oh, that's great.